Welcome back to Create Your Own Myths. I am Nicole Washington.
I'm Agni Baudu.
And thank you for being with us. Hey, girl.
How are you?
I am getting through the year. Yeah.
The day is not very pretty today.
I know it's really hard when like winter really hits and the sun is no longer shining all day and it's really cold outside and your fucking skin is dry and you have pimples and you get your period and you're hungry all the time, but it's too cold to go outside and get what you need.
Honestly. And your husband doesn't feed you. Struggle out here.
That is the situation.
Well, we'll make it. We'll make it through the winter. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It feels like it gets, like, it just drops every year much faster. Like, it's like 60 or 50 degrees consistently. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like 17 degrees, guys. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yep.
That really throws me off.
I guess that's the trade-off of climate change. It's like you can have 70 degree weather at the beginning of November, but 2 days later it's going to be 17 degrees.
Yeah, honestly. I was really jealous of the kids on Halloween this year because they could all wear like their cool costumes without jackets.
Yeah.
I remember when I was going out for Halloween, even like a little like witch costume, right? Like there's no, like it's cold.
Yeah.
I had to wear a jacket and then you can't see your costume. What's the point of Halloween if you can't see your costume?
Facts.
It's a struggle. But anyways, so today we are talking about feral women.
Feral, wild, unhinged women.
Which I think all women have a version of themselves that's feral.
Oh, yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, the idea or just the mirage of a nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
Got a girl coming for us right now.
I know. My dog is
her
like...
Her name is Halo, and she just finished her meal.
Halo is the ultimate feral woman.
Yes.
This bitch does what she wants.
When she wants.
When she's hungry, she just whines and growls and barks at you. She does not care about being polite. She does not care
about nice.
She doesn't consider if she's taking up too much space.
Nope.
She actually is like, actually, I'm supposed to take up all the space.
Yeah. This is my space, guys. Don't you dare burp in my face.
I know.
Please sit. Go.
Yeah. She doesn't care about burping or farting. She's not like, oh, that's not ladylike. She's just like, and bitch.
What are you going to do now?
It's just nature. It's natural.
She's just hanging out.
Yeah,
she's just hanging out. Oh, there we go. We settled. We're good. We're also getting side eye. Nice. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, at what point did you embrace your feral woman inside of you?
Oh my goodness. I know the exact time in my life.
Okay,
so let's just set the scene. I grew up with a lot of societal restrictions, and also I just grew up being taught to be very polite.
I can relate.
Very like ladylike. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I love my mom for passing down her style and her grace to her daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember also like my mom always like fixing my hair to be super perfect before I left the house.
Mm-hmm.
And like being like, oh, you just need to slick this back, or oh, this looks crazy if you do that. Like always feeling like I needed to be presentable when I left the house.
Got it.
And also always feeling like I needed to be really polite.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And those were things that were expected of me because I was a woman. And on top of that, because of trauma I experienced when I was a child, I was very disconnected from my anger.
Okay.
Because the anger that I experienced was very unhealthy and violent. So I remember when I started to go to therapy, and this was like after being in therapy after like a few years.
Okay.
I started to become more in touch with my anger. And I remember I would get an anxiety attack because there was this like dragon inside of me. And it was like something that I knew if I fully embodied it, I should say I was scared that I would not be able to tame it.
Okay.
And so at first I was like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me. I have too much rage inside of me. I'm experiencing too much emotion. And then after working through it, I realized like, one, this is a layered situation. This is there is a lot of unhinged rage inside of there because you have been suppressing it all of your life. But two, it is okay to experience that fire, that like just wild, angry emotion. And the more that I allowed myself to be more in touch with that part of myself, the more I was more comfortable with like, okay, maybe sometimes I do want to like go off and snap.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not always going to be polite. And that's okay. And I can experience this fiery, angry, violent rage. And when I say violent, I don't mean physically. I just mean like there's that energetic.
Yeah, yeah. Like that energy. Shaking energy.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah, yeah.
And I realized like, oh, this is within me. I can always tame this. And then I was like, oh, you know, this is actually within me because I can, if ever someone tries to violate me the way that I was once violated as a child, I have the power to destroy them.
Yeah.
And I can harness that power.
Yeah.
I can let it loose when it needs to be let loose and tame it when it needs to be tamed.
Fuck yeah.
And I realized like, oh, this is actually an empowering thing than something to be afraid of.
Yes. Oh my God. That was so well put. I was always honestly afraid of that rage.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, I always felt like I was walking on eggshells for a very long time. And I felt like I was, you know, being controlled and manipulated, and there was just any emotion I felt was covered by rage or anger. There was not like, you know, sadness would turn into rage. Happiness, it would just, it was bad. And when I got to the point where I could like, I don't want to say tame the rage, but almost like embody it and use it, I was able to move forward in a more proper way, almost like the way I was supposed to, not the way the system wanted me to, or not.
Can you
the
explain
way-
that more? Like, what do you mean by proper?
Okay. So we all go to school, right?
Yeah.
And we all go from first grade, second grade. It's like a process, right? Yeah. Like it's a system.
Yeah.
But when I got out of grad school and I went through that system, I felt like I was constantly up against myself or that the world was constantly pulling me down. And I felt like I was that 16-year-old girl who couldn't find her words. And I was always so angry about it. Like I was angry all the time. And I was also raised to be incredibly polite. I was, this kind of like goes back to our anger episode when like I was taught that if a woman looks angry, then she's going to be considered crazy. And I was always so afraid of that idea. But I had gotten to a point in my career where I was like, okay, you know what? If they think I'm crazy, so what?
Yeah.
And I was so, because I was so fed up with not being almost taken seriously, honestly. And when, you know, whether it was, you know, with my mom or dad or with my personal life or with my career or with my friends, if I didn't get taken seriously, the rage would keep festering.
Yeah.
And it would keep festering. And it was like, at that point, it was like almost in my neck and I could like feel the fire in my neck. Like yeah. It was just so frustrating. So when I started embodying the rage, but not taking it out on people, but mm-hmm. almost like feeling it and then like really using it to move forward, mm-hmm. just even throughout the day, yeah. the day went much better.
Yeah.
The day went much smoother.
Yeah.
Like I realized, you know, I can be a kind person, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't have to be kind to in a situation that I've deemed not kind to me.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I feel like the expectation of being kind gets very misused.
Yes, very much so.
Because when I think about that, what does that mean, right? Like, when you are moving throughout the world, each of us has something that we're dealing with, going through, trying to achieve, trying to get done. Mm-hmm. And we're not always going to be able to give in the way that other people expect.
Exactly.
And there's a difference between being just in a state of neutrality. Mm-hmm. And being unkind, okay. You know, which to me means you're being rude.
Exactly.
You're disrespectful.
Yep.
But, you know, if I don't look up and smile at somebody while I'm waiting in line, mm-hmm. That's just because that's just not where my mood is at.
Or my brain. Yeah.
Or my brain. Exactly. I might be dealing with a lot of different things. And I think we as a society and as human beings have to start taking accountability for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if somebody didn't smile at you, you can't take that so personal.
Yeah.
There are some people that will just be like, oh, that they were rude, you know? And it's just like, well, maybe that person had a lot going on.
Exactly.
Maybe they were, you know, thinking about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And this also makes me think about the messiness of life. It's funny because as I'm talking about this, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I am tired of trying to live up to expectations. I feel like, especially as women, there's this expectation of like, we should be boss babes in control of our lives, mm-hmm. but also dress really well, also be really sexy, also be having great sex on the regular, also have a
motherly,
also yeah, being motherly, yeah. Also have a partner that's just so perfect and kisses our feet at all times and never gets us angry, yeah. Because if you don't, then you're not a worthy woman. And also, you should be making a lot of money. And if you don't, then you haven't learned how to manifest.
Or you're not independent.
Or you're not independent.
Yeah.
And I'm just like here to be like, yo, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Life is messy and everything is in process. Okay.
Of course.
And if you think about it, when something in your life is going great, mm-hmm. there's probably something else that is lacking because if something's going great, it's probably because you're giving a lot of attention to that thing and you're working really hard at that thing.
Right.
Which means that attention is being taken away in another area because you can't give full attention to all areas of your life at one time.
100%.
So this idea that everything is supposed to be working properly and smoothly and excellently. Mm-hmm. All at the same time is fucking bullshit.
It is. It's so fucking bullshit. I mean, I have a live example as a child. Like, my mom was a powerhouse, mm-hmm. right? Like, she, corporate woman powerhouse. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But guess what? She missed a lot.
Yeah.
I missed her.
Yeah.
She didn't come to a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, constantly, you know, my parents would be like, oh, but your dad came. But that's not the same.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wanted my mom there.
Yeah.
There's certain things I shared with her. But I remember her being so overwhelmed and saying, I can't be everything at once.
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me, right? Because I was like, as a child who's growing, I'm like, well, I'm going to be everything at once. Mm. There's this idea of like, well, if they can't do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then there's also this like toxic motivation almost where you're like, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm, yep, going to do it. And then you're attempting to do it and you're destroying yourself.
Yep.
I mean, emotionally, physically, like it's gross. Like the amount of like the way you destroy yourself.
And you're putting so much pressure on yourself because you're telling yourself, until I get to this place where everything in my life is working perfectly, mm-hmm, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate using that word, but it is. It's like, how can you possibly expect to be perfect at everything?
Yeah.
It is not fair.
Yep.
And yet, and please, all the men in our lives, don't take this the wrong way, but it is not that much expected of them in this way. It is expected in other ways, for sure.
Yeah.
But not in the emotional sense.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's a different expectation.
Because exactly.
With men, there's this expectation almost that you're not supposed to have emotions. That you're, it's just like, oh, you should just want to work hard and not be with your family and make some money and not think about it.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's different.
Of course it's different. And it makes me feel bad for them as well, because it's like some of them can be such great family men.
Yeah.
And they're not given the chance.
Yeah.
Or when they are, it's almost like they get so much credit for it. And then they just like get singled out and they're either uncomfortable or they're like, just like, wait, am I doing this the right way? Like, why is everyone saying, you know,
or it's like, am I a man? And that's a hard thing. It's like, men are not, if you're an overly sensitive man, mm-hmm, it's almost looked down upon. Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know what? At the same time, it's funny because they say things about women like, oh, women are emotional, this, this, and this. And so it's like there's this expectation that we would be emotional. But as soon as we are visible in our emotions, mm-hmm, it's like, oh, she's unhinged. What's wrong with her?
Or she needs to
learn. She's too sensitive and she needs to learn how to keep it together. It's like it's like this perfect area in, mm-hmm, the spectrum that, mm-hmm, we're expected to never shift at all.
Exactly.
Onto the boundaries.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know the crazy part? Women are constantly changing.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yep. Like our hormones and our phases are so unpredictable, mm-hmm, right? We know which phase we're in, mm-hmm, right? But the hormones are so unpredictable that to expect a woman to be exactly the same and output exactly the same every single time is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Like the one thing that, you know, I was thinking about during the holidays is I was watching a couple movies and I was like, some of these women are killing themselves to make things perfect.
Mm. And what you said, you were watching a couple of movies?
Like Christmas movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was watching a couple Christmas movies.
Oh, like to make you mean the house and the decorations.
Yeah, and everything and like that. So perfect. And it's admirable because it's magical for these kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the woman is just like done.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
And it's like, what about her spending time with her family? What about her sledding with her kids? What about her, you know, sitting down and enjoying the hot cocoa she made?
Right.
And it's like, what, like, when is the world going to learn that a woman cannot do everything for you?
Yeah. And just people need to be allowed to be messy.
Yes, yes.
And to have messy lives.
Yes.
But I also think we have to work on that within ourselves,
mm-hmm,
because that's something that I have been really working on in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I realized, you know, I've manifested a lot of things in my life,
mm-hmm,
And I'm starting to realize that there's a issue with that, though, because I feel like when I really want to manifest something, I feel like I'm not good enough until I get the thing. And it's, and these are not things that it's like, oh, a car. It's like, oh, I want a stable career, you know?
Okay,
like right now, my career is just in a place of like unknown. I don't know really where my career is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is killing me because I feel like I keep having this feeling where I feel like everyone's looking at me like, she needs to get her shit together. She does not have it together. She needs to, like, what is she doing out here? Where, you know, she used to be this. Why does she not do that again? Like, she dropped the ball, you know? Because a couple of years ago, I felt very focused in my career. I knew exactly what I was doing. I was getting a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in a space of, like, transforming my career.
Right.
But it feels constantly like, you're not good enough. You don't have it together. There's just this feeling, it's a whisper in the back of my mind of like, she doesn't have it together. She doesn't have it together. And then I'm starting to realize like, oh, one, that's my own voice because nobody's out here saying that to me.
No.
And two, it's because I'm not comfortable with the messiness of life that I'm not like accepting the moment. I keep looking at the manifestation of like, oh, but I want to be there. That's where I want to be mentally and physically and emotionally, instead of being like, oh, wait a minute, but what does it mean to be here?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be in a place and fully accept, like, girl, you just don't know where you're going, like not trying to sugarcoat it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
Because
you're so right.
Sugarcoating it also allows.
It's like avoidant.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I've been there. I've had my ups and downs. I totally get it. And the downs have always brought that feeling like I'm not worthy or I'm not enough. Or the biggest thing is like, you know, this expectation that it has to be that perfect all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like that I'm climbing all the time.
Yes.
And it's but you know, you can't like, metaphorically, a mountain has to end, correct? So when you get to a top of one, you have to leave to go back to the top of another one.
That's so true.
And I had to like learning that, like processing that is taking a long time for me. Like I have this expectation of like this perfect life, right? This perfect, you know, easy, I'm gonna earn what I want kind of life, but it's not that simple.
Nope.
And it doesn't make it easy when I see the elder women in my life who have these expectations, right?
Mm.
And then I've never seen them embrace the feral woman in themselves. Mm. I've always seen them be like this perfect, you know, presentable, graceful human being.
Yeah.
But on top of it, it's like when I've shown my feral side, whether it's in the way I dress, like, you know, a good example is like, you know, my mom, she's very conservative with the way she dresses, not because she doesn't want to dress like having a sleeveless top is like not even like a tube top, just a sleeveless top is like, oh my God, for my mom, which is fine.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
But you know, when I've gotten comfortable with myself and my style, right, and my body, which was a big deal for me, there was always this vibe of like, are these elder women judging me? Like, are they looking at what I'm wearing? And they probably are, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. There is a sense of like energy that you can feel.
Right.
But with my mom specifically, it's not that she would judge me. It's just that she would be like, oh, this is cute, but I could never wear it. Do you know what I'm saying?
So there is some judgment there because it's not just like, oh, that looks really nice.
Exactly.
On you. There's this like, she's bringing her burdens to you.
Yeah. Like the insecurities essentially.
Oof,
right.
Yeah.
The insecurities. And like so many times, like I've pushed my mom to do little things for herself that normally she wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not because she doesn't have the money, right? It's mm-hmm. not because she doesn't have the time. Mm-hmm. It's just because she doesn't think of it. Mm. Or she just thinks, oh, that's I people like me don't do that. Mm. Who are people like you? Like,
right, people. And that's the other thing is like, I think every single one of us has this idea of what an ideal person in life is supposed to look like.
Yep.
And it's funny because for each of us, it's slightly different based on how we were brought up, the things that we witnessed. But we have it in the back of our mind and we are constantly judging ourselves against that.
Isn't that insane?
And it's really hard to break it down because I do think that our world is constantly putting up a new ideal. Like, it's funny, Nick and I were watching Netflix last night. Mm-hmm. And usually we turn off, like when the ads come on, I like turn down the sound or I tune out. Mm-hmm. But last night I just was like noticing them more. And you know those Hims and Hers commercials?
Yeah, yeah.
I was noticing them and I was just like, wow, this is marketing hard on people's insecurities.
Right.
Like, oh my God. Like, even like the whole erectile dysfunction thing. I'm like, you know, yes, some people I'm sure have that problem.
Right. Right.
But what it's really telling you, what the ad is saying to you is like, are you having sex enough? You might want to take a pill because you need to be having more sex and you need to please your partner. Mm-hmm. And for the woman one, it's like, oh my God, it's like if your hair is thinning, if you don't have full thick hair, you need to take this pill because this is really where you need to be at. And there was actually an ad too for some kind of, I think it was like a tummy tuck or something. Oh, dear God. And again, it was just like, you'll be so much happier if you actually look like this, you know?
Right, right, right.
And I was just like, wow, we are constantly getting marketed. The way that we get marketed to is pulling at our insecurities. Mm-hmm. And it's also creating this ideal of how we should be.
Right.
And there, I just feel like I'm just so tired of it because I'm tired of feeling like I have to be this version of attractive.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
version oh, man. Of, you know, successful.
Yeah.
No, this version totally of perfection.
Yeah.
And not successful in any kind of way.
No,
successful
just in general.
In general.
Yeah.
And then, you know, both you and I are women of color. And so there's this idea of being the ideal person of color.
Right.
You know, like, okay, Black people don't do this. Indian people don't do that. Yeah. They do this. Mm-hmm. When really, fuck that.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm sorry, but there is no one version of what it means to be Black, what it means to be Indian, especially in America.
Yeah.
Because we all were brought up, first of all, under this guise of we're not enough.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us, every one of us interpreted that in a different way.
Yep.
And so, and we're still dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It caused this residual trauma that pushed into adulthood. And now it's pushing into our 30s and it's pushing into our 40s and it's going to push into our 50s and it's going to push into our 60s because it's going to follow us everywhere.
Yep.
And that idea of like, understanding our insecurities is something we had to learn on our own.
Yep.
Like the generation before us, they didn't advertise it by quote unquote.
Yeah.
Like they just kind of were like, destroy your insecurities and move on.
Exactly. Or ignore your insecurities and move on. Just get the shit done. Yep. And then I feel like even in our generation, I do feel like there's this feeling of like, okay, really look into your insecurities, but do it in the right way.
You know, I've been told as a child up until my teenage years and even now, and I will not quote who, but I've been told, don't be different, just be normal. Mm. What the fuck does that mean?
And what does normal mean?
Because exactly.
Everyone has a different version of what it means to be normal.
Yes. Oh my God. And it just,
And it's so funny because that will really be drilled into you as soon as you get into a committed relationship, or if one ever gets into a committed partnership where they are living and growing and intimate with one other person, you will see your ideas of normal are very different. Because when you first meet when you first meet a person, you're like, oh yeah, we like the same things, we're doing it, oh we're so similar.
right
Live with them for 5 years,
then
it's just like, oh my God, what? Why do you think that? And it's because everybody has a different mental process.
Yeah. And it's the nurturing, right? Like it's the way that it's the way, not that they were raised, I don't want to say, but their experiences that led them to that point.
Exactly. And the way that the stars aligned when they were born.
Exactly.
Like our astrology, learning astrology has been really helpful for me because you start to realize like, oh, we are like scientifically made up very differently, like different energy impacted us each at a different time. Mm-hmm. And so there, you know, some people are just, they think differently because they just are. That's just how it is, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't even want to say differently. They think differently than me.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. And but it could be normal for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, the idea, like, I don't like the word normal.
Yeah.
Like, I try not to use it as much as possible in everyday life and, you know, in work, whatever. But when I hear it being used specifically to kids, it drives me crazy. Like I get so far in my head because I'm like, oh my God, this young brain is taking in this idea of normal.
Yeah.
And I get so irritated because I'm like, the person like explaining it, I want to ask them, the feralness comes out and I'm just like, do you know what normal is?
Yeah.
Like what is normal?
Yeah.
Like, who are you to tell this young brain, oh, this is normal, do it.
Right.
And so I just – that's Halo, guys.
I know. Hopefully you can still – I think both of our husbands are about to come back in. They're like, yep. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, us. Sorry. Damn it. Husbands, though.
basically, I think it's really important to tap into one's feral energy because it's directly connected to our authenticity, first of all.
Agreed.
Like, we are supposed to feel all the feels, and I kind of think go to the extremes somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that with a caveat because obviously different people's extremes are different.
Right.
And so I guess go to the extremes without harming anybody.
Or yourself. Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like feeling into that wild woman can feel very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
But once you learn how to harness it so that it works for you and with you and not controls you.
Yeah.
And also accepting that inner rebellion.
Yeah.
That's something that I've been working with. So it's funny because I was just talking about how I am like, yo, fuck this. Life is messy, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also saying how I'm in this space with my career where I really don't know what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me is like, wants to do this, do that, do
this. Right, yeah.
And I'm always going to be somewhat of a doer because I just have to.
Mm-hmm.
But in this season, my intuition is like, be still.
Yeah.
And my inner rebellious teenager is going crazy. And so the way that I look at tapping into my feral woman is to sit with that version of myself.
Okay.
Sit, instead of ignoring that and being like, oh, I'm too old to be feeling like I want to have a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just feel it. Let me spend 20 minutes this morning just being in this space where I'm pissed. I don't want to smile. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere and sit with her so that she can have those emotions and so that they can pass so that I don't move through the world spewing it out on everybody else.
Yes, I love that. I agree with it. I think that when you sit with it, I learned this from a really good mutual friend of ours, that you're sitting in your power.
Ooh, yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I thought of the idea of a feral woman because of this friend. Mm. And recently when we were hanging out together, someone came up to her and they called her a bitch because of the way she looked in a certain aspect. I don't want to give away too much because it's all in the same town that we're in.
Right.
But and they just expected this reaction. And I remember sitting there thinking, what the fuck? Like, do we have to smile for you all the fucking time?
Right.
For you to feel comfortable? Like, I was so angry I couldn't speak, right? And she was so graceful. I mean, she was so graceful, so beautiful. But when she explained it back to this person, it was a man, by the way, she was very great. And she said, I'm in my power. Like, this is my power moment.
Yep.
And in my head, I was like, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I was
and that power makes that person uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you can tell by that, right?
Yeah.
And the moment he came over and called her that, like, I was like almost lost for words because I was like, wow, it's so amazing how you can be a man and be so comfortable talking like this.
Yeah.
Whereas as me as a woman, I would never go up to a dude and say, you look like a bitch.
Yeah. Yep. And even if I saw, it's so funny because it's like, even if I saw somebody acting like a straight up asshole, I would like find a way to be like, yo, calm down or something like that, but not just like straight up tell that person what's on my mind.
Exactly.
In that like, moment.
It's just, it's crazy how much we filter ourselves.
Yeah.
And when
you and say, how much some people do not filter themselves.
Exactly.
And it also begs the question of who's supposed to filter themselves and who's not supposed to filter themselves.
Yes. Asking the right fucking questions.
And it's also like, you know, it's funny how with women, we don't even have to physically say anything, but being looked at as strong and independent and just badass will make people feel like, oh, that person thinks that they're better than everybody else.
Oh my God.
That person is not because it's like women are what I should say is some people are so programmed to look at women as, oh, you're supposed to look motherly and nurturing and like you're gonna bake some cakes and you know, cook for your family.
Oh my God.
And not just, I want to be careful because I'm not trying to say that those things are not valuable things.
Neither am
but I. You should not expect anybody to do those things because not everybody wants to be doing those things. And just because somebody looks like they are independent and powerful doesn't mean that they also don't do those things.
I just lost my thought. Not in a bad way. I just lost my thought.
Okay. So we have to wrap up this podcast because we are having too many technical issues, but we're still going to put it out because I feel like we still need to say this is something that we needed to say. Yeah. And also to me, this is perfect because it's embracing imperfections.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Fuck, like, you guys got the message. You got the message. It didn't come in a perfectly tied up package.
It's not supposed to.
But you know what? It's Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, it is.
And shit is going to be what it's going to be. So with that being said, embrace your feral nature, motherfuckers.
Fuck yeah. Also, you're going to be able to see Jupiter tomorrow, so December 6th. So go look in the sky.
Ooh, yeah. And that's the day that this podcast is coming out. So actually, if you listen to this on Friday, December what?
6th.
December 6th.
Yeah.
Which is when this podcast is coming out, you will see Jupiter.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's going to look huge. It's the biggest planet in our solar system, guys, and we're going to be directly parallel to it.
Dude, that's so wild because Jupiter, first of all, Jupiter is in my first house.
Oh, damn.
And Pluto is currently in my first house.
So intense.
So I don't think Jupiter is in Aquarius right now, but just the fact that Jupiter is activated and Pluto is, I feel like.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job.
Thanks.
You're doing great. You look good. She looks great.
You look amazing.
For those of you
too.
Who didn't see the video part, she looks amazing.
Oh my God, girl. I love you.
But I love you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a good day.